I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by
A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination,
Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you.
For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Okay, so due to an error on my part, we lost episode 6. So I'm going to do a quick recap of what you guys did. Episode 5 left off with the Forgewall and Pool sitting outside the pub across the street from the Ghostbuster International headquarters, drunk, waiting for the Spectral Voyager. Briggs was on a stakeout across the street watching them, completely sober, with Tobin in the Geist One. The Spectral Voyager showed up, they got inside and took off, and that's where we left it. But after that, because we lost the recording, what happened was Briggs followed them. Once the guys were inside the carriage, the spectral carriage, the mixture of them being drunk and not having slept for a while, the effect that the carriage was having on them, they didn't have a memory of why they were in the carriage or how they got there or what they were doing there, but they knew something was odd. Meanwhile, Briggs is chasing them and with his high-speed chase in the Geist One, following this thing through the countryside of England and everything. Man. You finally caught up with them, shot slime tethers at it, shot boson darts at it. Finally, the guys inside the carriage figured out what to do. They were able to cut their way out of the carriage while it was moving using their proton beams.
We installed a moonroof.
Yeah, they basically cut a moonroof in this thing, and they busted the Spectral Voyager. After that, the man who had contacted Poole earlier wanting to meet with the Ghostbusters, he contacted him again, said he wanted to secretly meet with them in the Tower of London. The next day, the Ghostbusters went to visit him. Walking through the Tower of London, Wall spotted a battle axe that was left over from, that was found at the dig site where the three knights from the Crusades were, that their buddies from season one, who
missed
were,
those guys.
Who fell into a void, never to be seen again. They found a missing piece that was never in Florida, but it's a remnant, it's a souvenir as it were.
We stole that, didn't we?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. But it didn't matter because of what happened next. You finally met your contact. Your contact revealed himself to be Mr. Thomas Brown. He worked at the British Museum. He is the one who gave the ring to the International Ghostbusters.
That I put on.
That Briggs put on, yes. He worked with a man named Charles Walker. Charles Walker is the one who is the man who first came into contact with the ring, was paranoid that somebody was following him, so he gave the ring to Thomas for safekeeping. Charles went to France for business reasons. By the time he came back, he was a different person. He was acting strange. He wasn't acting like himself. And he demanded to know where the ring was. Thomas was scared, so he gave his buddy a fake ring, brought the real ring to the International Ghostbusters, who then sent it to you. Mr. Walker has since disappeared. No one knows where he is. The Ghostbusters went to go find him, and that's when they went missing. And now Thomas knows that the Ghostbusters are missing, so he contacted you and said, hey, I needed to inform you guys as to what was happening, because he knew something about it. And Doc.
We also fought a pretty crazy.
Oh yeah! Oh, that's right. That's right.
Slime.
Because once he told you all of that, he said that he felt that he was being followed. Black slime started to ooze into the chapel,
yep.
And just formed this giant column of like a black slime behemoth monster, which you guys were able to dispose of by throwing slime grenades and taking off the slime pack, Jaws style, throwing it into it, and then shooting it and exploding and leaving a massive mess and a lot of property damage.
Just to take our word for it, they were very, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was very cool. And after that, Thomas wanted to stay with the Ghostbusters because he knew that he was being followed. Obviously, something's after him. And that night, they got back to the firehouse, and Briggs decided he wanted to give... was it Victoria?
Yeah.
He wanted to give Victoria one more shot to see if she would be interested, so he called her and spent 9 brownie points to be cool.
Yeah.
And he decided to ask for her phone number after he
called
her.
I used my charm talent too.
So you called her to ask for her phone number.
Yep, it was pretty great.
Yeah, and
we laughed.
It was very funny. But with the role that you rolled, it was successful.
It was like 50 or something. It was
yeah,
high.
No, it was good. It was
like
good.
47. It was like 47. Crazy. 40.
Yeah, it was high.
I think it was the best role. One of the best roles. I had one pretty good.
It was
the
his
first
best.
Season,
it was his best. Cool.
But one of the better roles used on a woman.
So it was. She was impressed. she decided. She said, "Hey, that's kind of funny. Call me when you get back. Maybe we'll have some coffee."
It's basically
something.
Sympathetic at this point because she's like, "Oh, this guy."
Maybe. Well, that's better than it was before.
Not even sympathy.
Pity. But it's either way, better things are better off with that than it was before.
So guys, remember, if you ask a girl for a number after having it, you may get
not even
the fact that you had it. Cuz like if you were talking to a girl and was like, "Hey, can I have your number?" even though you have it like from Facebook or something like that, it's a polite gesture asking if you can call it.
You literally called her on the phone
to ask for
her number.
There's some sort of genius behind it, I bet. I don't know. Maybe not. It's probably not. Pool, is it?
No.
Okay. No, it's not. No. But then that night, Thomas said that he would take you guys to the hotel that he knows that Charles always stayed at when he was on business in Paris. So the next day you guys were planning on taking a train, and you told Billy to check himself in every night at the police station to make sure that his werewolfism, his lycanthropy is under control. And that's where we're going to be starting this episode, so... without further ado, then episode 7, which is now episode 6. Is there anything else I'm forgetting? It's been a while since we played.
Or pay.
Yeah. They have not been paid in quite some time.
Okay, well then, alright, let me just say that if we're starting, then the night before, you guys had met with Thomas Brown. He was the informant who spoke to the International Ghostbusters before. He's the one who originally gave him the ring. You guys were going to go to Paris because he knew of the hotel in Paris that his partner stayed at. You guys are going to take the train. I looked up what it would actually take in order to do it or whatever, so...
I think we should take everything.
You already talked to... you already talked to Billy.
Yeah.
The scout, basically.
Yeah.
Every night he's going to check in to the police station and make sure he doesn't hulk out into a werewolf. Thomas is staying with you guys at the firehouse. He's always scared that someone's watching him. He's very paranoid. You guys had the tickets and everything. You're ready to go. Is there anything else you guys needed to do before you head out to Paris, and we can take care of the night before? Otherwise, I'll just say it's the next day, and we can get you on your way.
Did you make slime grenades?
Yeah, we made some. I made some more. We should
fill in.
Oh yeah, just give me a standard. Give me a standard engineer roll.
31, I think.
31.
31. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. I'm gonna say you make 10. You can make 10.
Okay, 10. So
that's a lot.
let's see here. That means. So okay. You guys will have 4. I'll have 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you make 10 slime grenades.
Tobin's coming with us. Nina is coming as well because we need her for translating.
That's true because you guys are going to France, and Thomas is going with you obviously because he knows where to go and everything else.
Do you have that girl's number?
He did. Yeah.
Do you
he
call
does
her
have.
Back and he ask her. Should I call? Should I call her a third time and ask for a number again?
It's like yeah, I already gave it to you. Like, but you didn't. But you got it. You got it. Before. Well, you did. You had her number to begin with, so you didn't get her number.
So,
but you got on her good
but
side.
But now I have like a potential date with her when we get back to England.
Yeah.
So.
If you make it back to England,
you should go on a date with her. Ask her if she should go out with you.
It's like, can we go out for coffee sometime? And then she's like, "Yes, you're out for coffee." And we're going very. So sometime you want to go on a date? It's like. I thought that was okay.
You'd be having sex. You'd be like, "Hey, do you mind later after I come?
Can we go steady?
Can I come in for a nightcap?
Do you want to go study?"
Man.
Did you hear about Briggs? I heard that he found out that he was going steady with that girl he was going steady with.
So, everyone, pick your cards for the trip to Paris.
Well, we're going in the.
On the train.
The train, right? But are we bringing the actor one?
The train. I looked it up, and for real, it can take a car.
Yeah.
So you will actually be putting the Ecto one. The Geist one. Yes,
Geist
thank you.
One.
The Geist one will be loaded onto the train via the heavy vehicle shuttle wagon that they have. Ooh. Plus, you know, Thomas wants to make sure you guys are as close as possible the entire time because he's very nervous.
Does this train happen to have a cart that sells? Nutty Woody Gobber Slobbers?
Nutty Woody Gobber.
I mean, candy bars.
Beef Wellington
oh,
Ensemble.
Oh, you mean Jim's Turds.
Jim's Turds. I did. Now, this is something else I looked up. There are no pets or animals allowed on the... You guys are traveling via the Eurostar train system.
Yeah.
So Nina says that she can take, like, the ferry across with Tobin and meet you guys in France once you guys get there.
All right.
But the overall trip from London to Paris on the train, it's about 2 hours, 15 minutes.
It's not bad.
You're going to have to go through the tunnel. The tunnel is only 20 minutes. So you load up the Geist One. Everything, your tickets are stamped. Nina's going to meet you guys in France. She's going to take the ferry with Tobin. So it's you four guys and Thomas are on the train. The train gets moving. Now, did you want to talk to him about the ring?
Yeah, has he noticed anything? Like, does he have any insight to it that we may have missed?
He doesn't know, like, where the origin of the ring came from. All he knew was that Charlie was very protective of it. And, like, Charlie's specialty was the Renaissance.
Yeah.
So he thinks that it must have come, like, been around the time of the Renaissance. Because why else would it come to an expert on the Renaissance unless the ring had something to do with the Renaissance? Right. So around that time period, like maybe the 1500s, maybe 1600s.
Did he, other than being protective, did he exhibit any other odd behavior?
Well, other than, he was paranoid.
Maybe not as odd as putting it on or anything.
Yeah, he didn't put it on, but he was paranoid and left. He went to Paris, but when he came back from Paris, that's when he was really acting not himself, according to Thomas.
Who was he acting?
He was acting as creepy guy. Creepy guy number one.
So not creepy guy, potentially Sauron.
if you want to bring up that comparison, he would be like, no, like he's uncomfortable about it, but he says like it was as if he had he knew everything that Charlie knew, but it wasn't Charlie. Like it was someone controlling him or someone who looked like him. He doesn't know. All he knows is it wasn't his friend. Sure. So train leaves the station. You guys are on your way.
Yeah.
You're about halfway through the tunnel, which is about like you're 10 minutes
right
into the tunnel. And then the train slows down and comes to a stop inside the tunnel.
God damn it.
What are you slapping your head for?
It's not supposed to stop in a tunnel.
Why do you have your hand on the brake? Not supposed to let go so we can go to Paris.
Oh, that explains why. I'll let go of the brake. Sorry, it's my
I'm
fault.
Taking the hand.
Sorry, everyone. So sorry, everyone. Sorry.
So, like,
my
the conductor comes on, or whoever, the train operator. The automated message says that there's a problem that they're going to resume shortly. Thomas is a little worried because he's like, I don't know about you guys, but this doesn't happen. You know, this isn't supposed to happen.
Don't worry, this
if it doesn't
stuff happens to us all the time. Actually.
if it doesn't happen, why is there an automated message prepared for it?
Oh, well, it doesn't say sorry for stopping in the middle of the tunnel. It's like there's technical difficulties.
Let's tell you a story about an airplane and a boat.
I'd rather not.
I don't think we have.
You turn your flashlight on under your chin. You're like, oh, one time we were on an airplane. So, you guys are there for a few minutes, and nothing is happening, but one of the, I guess I'll just say the one of the conductors, he comes through, and he spots you guys, the Ghostbusters, and he says, gentlemen, can you help us out with something that's on the tracks outside? I'd like to keep it quiet, not alert any of the other passengers.
Why is it
like,
that
if they
every
watch...
form of transportation we have taken so far since we've come here has had something trying to kill us?
Except for the Ecto-1.
Mass transport... transportation, not the Geist One. Thank you.
Well, how tall is the tunnel?
I think it's.
I have that. Actually, I have. It's a good thing you asked. No. I came prepared. It is a diameter of 25 feet.
I was right.
All of the dimensions are here for you guys. Basically, there's two tracks, you know, for the trains going either direction. Each tunnel has a diameter of 25 feet. There is a small, I think.
Is this to scale?
Yeah, no, this is like, size-wise, this is supposed to be to the scale.
Okay, so the train is like...
Train's big.
It's like 19 feet high.
Supposedly.
Okay.
It's a massive car.
Yeah.
So like, we're going to be crawling.
Yeah, if we have to get on top.
If you have to get on top, but the train's not moving. Every like 1,000 feet, I think, or so, there is a door to a service tunnel. That center tunnel is a service tunnel. So that, for the entire length. And every 1,000 feet, there's a door that leads into the service tunnel.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so 25-foot diameter rail tunnels, 98 feet apart, 31 miles in length, a 16-foot diameter service tunnel between two main tunnels, pairs of 11-foot diameter cross passages linking the rail tunnels to the service tunnel at every 1,230 feet.
1,200 feet.
Yeah, piston relief ducts, 7 feet in diameter, connecting the rail tunnels.
That's the upper one.
That's the top
one,
yeah. At 820 feet spacing, two undersea crossover caverns to connect the rail tunnels. Okay, when it says piston relief, does that mean just For air pressure equalization between
the tracks? Yeah, so that when the tracks move and the train goes by. So that's not meant for going through.
But it is 7 feet in diameter.
It is, yes.
Okay.
So, Briggs.
Well, all of us. Now, this is real, too. Like, that's the actual, you know, that's the way it's set up.
Okay, well, are we going to be... we're going to need our proton packs just in case.
He says yes, by all means. Now, the only reason he knew that you guys were Ghostbusters is because he helped you guys.
Yeah, we had to be approved, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Like, so,
everybody was alerted. We signed autographs. Everybody knows.
So
we're kind of a big deal.
So
the train's completely stopped.
Before I even stand up, is there any way we're getting paid for this? Otherwise, I'm taking a nap.
Well, we haven't really even decided. We haven't really even found out how the
what the problem is either.
Well, no, how their billing system works.
Yeah.
So you can bill them.
I will bill.
I mean,
I'm going to bill the world.
I mean, well, the you would know based on all the papers.
World.
Based on all the papers that Nina went through and everything, you guys know that the billing process is the same. It just goes to a different place because instead of having just the city pay for it, it's like basically the government of each country would pay for wherever the thing was done.
There's going
to
be a long document.
Yeah. But if you guys wanted to hand them a bill, you could hand it to the conductor. I mean, basically, it's not your job to say, oh, here's where you go. Your job is to hand it to the conductor. He's the one who's asking you to do it and say, give that to your boss. That's our fee. Then, and if they don't pay for it, then you guys go to the government and say they're not paying for it.
Sounds like Josh's handiwork.
All right. Well, we need to assess the... let's hand him the waiver first. I know it's an American waiver, but, like, it does lay out that we are not responsible for any damages that the Chunnel suffers.
It would scare him enough to be like, alright, you know, he says,
we drown everyone.
He says this train's not moving till this thing is gone. So you know.
Let's avoid Boson darting the wall.
I will say though that the train that the Chunnel is not connected to the water. It goes through an underground. Chalk limestone.
Yeah.
So
I think it's like 40 meters actually underneath.
It's pretty deep. I was going to put that in here, but the point is you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. You don't think that's going to be a problem.
Well, regardless,
we're still underground.
It's an electric train.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we step outside of the train, do we get electrocuted?
No, as long as you...
There's walking rails along the side.
Let's just say yes.
Okay, so I guess we just get ready to take the first service exit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the train is, literally stopped, you know, in the tunnel. If you guys you're going to go grab your equipment and everything that.
Get my PK meter.
What are we going to do to Thomas?
He is obviously a little scared. He doesn't like this, but...
I think Thomas should probably...
Sit on the train.
Yeah, well, no, not... I mean, not come with us, but stay close enough to us where if anything does happen, we can get to him quickly.
We're going
to
be leaving him in the dust. Like, we're going to go straight to the front of the train.
Well, it's true, but I think... Have him stay with the conductor. All
right.
Seems logical. The lead train, I forgot what it's called.
The engine. Just the engine.
And just have him there.
I'm going to give Thomas my walkie.
Okay. I want to get out first, and what I want to do is I'm just going to immediately start giving a PK scan of the area.
Okay, you step out. Thomas is going to wait in the engine compartment, with the conductor at the front of the train. The conductor did tell you that the disturbance is on the tracks in the front of the train. Mm-hmm. So if you step out, you start PKing. The lights on the front of the engine on the front of the train are on, illuminating the tunnel for a good way. But when you get out there, you turn on the PKE, and its strong readings are going to be on the front of the track. You're picking up a very strong reading. You move. If you look to the front of the track, there is black slime all over the front of the track, seeping in from the different sides of the tunnel.
Somebody go get one of the other slime blowers.
I will go back and grab the slime blower.
That way you can see your fire weapon.
You can't. As of right now, you can't really see where it ends because as it goes far enough away, it just gets dark. Of course,
I hate this stuff.
Yeah, it's always there.
And you know that
it smells.
Yeah, the closer you get to it, the more if it senses you're there, the black slime can become a gateway for more stuff to come
through.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, is
so we stay back until we get another slime blower.
True. It's obviously aware that we're here. It probably wouldn't be here.
It could be aware. It could be aware of. Why is it here right now? You don't know.
Yeah.
But you know that it can be aware of people being nearby. So
it is omniscient.
So, you guys...
It is all powerful, the black slime.
So Wall gets the slime blower from the back.
Staying as far away as possible, I'll start sliming the closest black slime.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should probably just pick a side and then just kind of fan back and forth, see if we can get the stuff taken care of.
Okay, go ahead. So if you want to just give me, for Mike, to give me a moves roll.
Is it seeping?
Oh, you got a slime blower too, cool. Okay,
yeah,
all right, the two of you.
I always have one because I've got the proton pistol.
Right on, okay. Those are good amounts, So I'll just say that you guys open them up, start hosing it down. Things will be going kind of smoothly at first. The further you go, it seems to be working. And the further you go, you start making your way. The ghost, I'll say, is after you make it just a few feet in, you're like, oh, okay, this is working. It takes a second, but, we're going. you start to see class ones and twos start flying out of the slime. Like the slime glows a little bit, and you start seeing like wispy wisps coming out. Don't seem overly dangerous. Don't even really seem to be that aware of your presence yet, but they're a bunch are coming out. It's
rattling chains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
We gone.
I'm gonna
go to Christmas pass.
Why don't I toss my trap out
And
LaForge, if you wanna grab them, literally.
Right. So yeah, we just walk up and
kind of toss
them
behind me.
Okay. So I'll just say like there's maybe like a dozen or so right now. Go ahead and give me standard moves from both of you guys if you just want to see how many you can take care of. Because you know they're class ones and they're also just low levels class ones and twos. Mm-hmm. For the class ones, like the really thin ones, the ones that don't even have like a form or whatever, you just blast them with a proton string. You neutralize it. It's gone.
Good.
Like you're taking some of that. You know the other ones, like the class twos, like are seeing this and they're starting to move a little faster, a little bit more aggressively. But like I'll say that you both have one captured. I'll just say like you've already got boom boom. You just immediately have a capture on two class twos.
So moves to get in the trap.
Yeah. If you want to open one up.
Yeah.
You get them both in. Just class twos in trap.
What do we know about the slime grenades? There's no actual, like... I mean, there's the force and the knockback, but there's no actual, like, explosive as far as, like...
No, there's no, like, actual
structural integrity.
No. Okay. It's just the wind force of it going off, but the rest of it is just literally just...
So, as far as we can see, there is black slime.
You can't tell how far it goes, but you really don't know if it's, like, just out of the light or if it's actually the entire length. You're really not sure.
Okay, as Poole mentioned slime grenade, I just unhook one off my belt and I just chuck it as hard as I can.
Like as far as you can go?
As far as I can go. All right,
this is muscles. You throw it a good amount. You throw it like, you know, it's a pretty good distance. And when it goes off, there's no flash or anything because it's just...
But we hear a...
Yeah, it's a glorified high-pressure water balloon. It just goes off. And you see a little bit closer than where you would expect the grenade to have landed. The black slime glows a little bit, and some wispy stuff comes out. It seems to have had an effect, but it doesn't really let you know if it's...
Negative or positive.
Well, no. It's positively charged slime.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, the after effect right now. Like,
according to us, whether or not it's positive.
Yeah.
Well, you know that the grenade is positively charged, and you know that the black slime
was. So, like, wispy, maybe...
That was a reaction to a good
okay.
slime.
So right. The slime is... Now, did we determine that it was capable of using the positively charged slime and getting it even more positive? Is there a way to maybe, like, supercharge it by making it super positive?
The green slime, no. The green slime is at a constant high or whatever. Pink slime, yes. Pink slime,
okay.
There's a never-ending sliding scale, whether of good or bad.
Okay.
But the green slime is at a constant. You cannot corrupt the green slime, and you cannot fix the black slime.
Except
they just neutralize each other, which is the point of that.
It's going to suck if we have to literally walk the train down the entire tunnel. Taking care of this stuff.
Well, if we find the source of it.
Tie breaks to the front of the train, just hose on.
it's like, I didn't sign up for this!
Yeah, you did.
You
volunteered.
Shut up. Don't.
This is exactly what you wanted.
Don't lead me into things I wanted to do.
Okay, is it on the ceiling or just kind of on the floor?
It's not on the ceiling.
Okay, that's good, so I don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, it's not on the ceiling. It seems to be on the floor.
Close your mouth.
Both of you guys with the slime bows, give me another move roll with the slime. So on pool side, you know, you're like, it's just, man, it's taking, like, it's working, you know, but it's just not, you're not making quick progress by any stretch. On wall side, I'll say that wall, let's just say from whatever, that you're on the inside of the tunnel, like where the service tunnel side is. When you start making your way up that end, you're pulling a little bit up ahead of pool, you notice that it is connecting to, up ahead, a door leading to the service tunnel. So, like, the door that leads to this tunnel, that leads to the service tunnel.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so if we can, like, clear a path to the service tunnel, it'd save some time.
Yeah. I'm going to start kind of making my way over there, though.
Okay. Both of you guys give me another slime roll, and then if you guys want to give me another one to get more of these class ones and twos. I'm assuming the trap's still open.
Yeah, we're just dragging them along.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming both of you have been doing this the whole time. So let's just give me another one just to see how many you guys get. Let's say LaForge gets three more, Briggs gets four more.
Okay,
cool. Class
2. We're literally slamming them in, but not the slamming.
Yeah. Well, these so far, these are relatively easy. Class 1s, they just vaporize as soon as you hit them. So, but the class 2s, you know it's a class 2 because you snag it, and then you're able to get it. So you got 3 more, you got 4 more.
I bet you 100 before you.
Both of you got 14?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say that you guys have pushed it up, you know, pretty good, that you have a path to the door that leads to the service tunnel.
I'll PK the door, see if that gives me any reading, if there's anything stronger coming
out
there.
Okay, give me a breeze.
I figured that might be good.
You're definitely picking up. There is more. You're guessing there's more behind this door.
Okay. I guess I'll open the door.
Hold on. Let's all
Take a breather.
Take to the side. No, I just want to take to the side. So if, you know,
like a big splash
giant
like,
wave
like,
of
know,
black slime comes out when you open
reach,
this door.
Just, you know, two on each side, one person. Just, you know,
that sounds
we've
good.
We've all played Rainbow Six.
Yeah. So, no, that's actually a really good idea. What I want to do.
I unhook another grenade.
Yeah. I'll open the door and look, I guess the forge will
frag,
toss it.
Frag and clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
But no, because you do know that if there was a flood of black slime, it would kill you. Like, it would burn you.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like...
So we're all getting behind Briggs. This is because he's going to open it.
If he opens
it,
we're like...
Yeah.
Black slime is like xenomorph alien blood to people.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's fine, and I'll take that risk.
All right.
No, just
open
the door and keep the door between
Yeah, I know, okay. I know. I'm not going to, like, frag it like this, like... Get
yeah.
Mouth open, on his knees, just
come at me, bro.
Ready to receive. It's like I'm ready for this, guys. What I wanted. So I'm gonna open it and just basically keep my shoulder to it and just make sure that I'm not in, tsunami
yeah.
or black.
We're all stacked
on the wall,
up against the wall.
Cool. Okay. Then in that case, everybody. So who's gonna be? So you're gonna be opening
I'm
the door.
Opening the door. Yeah.
Who's, and you're gonna toss a grenade.
Well, I'm wait till the door's open.
Okay. So I mean, I'll just say because it won't roll anything to have to open the door. You open the door, back, and you move up, and nothing comes out. But you are hearing like the slosh of no. You are hearing like the sloshing goopy black slime.
Ghost force.
I chuck in a grenade.
Okay, so then you throw one in, it goes off, and you're hearing like the sizzling cooking sound of the slime mixing or whatever. There's a little bit more in the doorway, but because you threw it in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you would be led to believe that it took a lot out there.
Cool. Mike, John, clean that shit up.
Yes, we'll
take sides on opposite sides of the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys move in there. I'm assuming because now it's kind of dark. In fact, it's actually surprising that when you open the door, there are no lights on. There's no like lights inside the store.
That's our mind.
Yeah,
flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
I put on the goggles.
Mm-hmm. Now
I will
say,
I turn my flashlight to that chandelier. God
damn it!
You opened the door. You opened the door to the tunnel that leads to the service tunnel.
Right. Yeah.
So now there's a door at the end of this, and of course all the lights are out, but it's not that long. You know, it's just it's whatever.
Okay.
So if you guys are gonna make your way down that now, what's the Josh? What's the size of this tunnel? It's 11 diameter. 11
yeah,
feet 11
diameter.
Feet diameter.
Yeah.
I'll
in 16 feet diameter 16
for
the, in the
okay.
service tunnel.
So this is the slightly smaller tunnel that leads to the service tunnel, which is not that far.
I'll be the doorman again.
You're
so gone. I'll prepare one of my grenades.
This one's a little bit harder for us to...
yeah, it's a little bit more narrow. Yeah.
All right, I mean, maybe they should just back out of the tunnel and I'll... Just in case
happens. I'm far enough back, but I'm ready with the hose.
You don't have to roll for that. Just say, you open the door, nothing comes out. This is leading into the main service thing. It's completely dark in there.
Do I hear the sloshing?
You do hear it. Yeah, you'd like to believe there's more slime. So if you want to just toss one in?
Yeah, I toss one in the grenades
okay.
in.
Do you want to close the door after you toss the grenade? Because it's not deep, you know, like the other tunnels. It's just like, it's literally just right there.
I'll close it. And I guess you just see like a slime ooze like, around the creases of the door.
So you open it, nothing happens. It's all lights out. You throw in a grenade, close the door. It goes off. You open it, you're hearing the sizzling cooking sound of the slime once again.
All
right. I will say...
Wall and I have goggles on. What do we see?
It's obviously completely dark. You're seeing strong energy reading. If you both have your goggles?
Yeah.
You're both seeing the strong readings of the slime, like, up and down both ways. You cleared out a big section in the middle here, but going in both directions, there's a lot of slime as far as you can see.
Does there appear to be a flow? Like, it's heading in a direction or from a source?
If you had to guess... You would say it's coming from the south, from France. There's not a steady flow because it's not even that deep. But, you know, it's just caked on
like
on the
floor. We have the most sophisticated sewer. We don't blah blah blah. It's fucking French.
There's no power in here. You can tell that there are like service lights in here, but they're all out.
Okay.
And I will say with this, I will say that the conductor comes on the walkie-talkie. He sounds a little worried. He says, we're having power fluctuations on the train, and we're kind of worried here. Thomas himself he's not very happy.
He's got a sad face on the front of the train.
God damn it, Josh. I'll go back.
You want to go back to the train?
I'll personally go back. I think that maybe one of us should go back to at least check on it.
It's far enough away where if you had to shout for help, no one would hear you, you know?
Okay. I think I should go back because just in case, because I have a feeling that whatever's in here might not be after us. It might be after Thomas.
That's why I was
asking. But like, it's coming from this center tunnel.
Yeah, it seems to have spilled out from the service tunnel onto the tracks, is what it looked like.
From France.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were forced to make a guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have the mobile containment unit, don't we?
In the car.
Okay, how about I go back and I take the trap with me?
Sounds good.
I'll put it back into the mobile
container. Empty this out.
Empty it out and bring it back?
Yeah. Put
maybe
it back.
Grab the other one too, because I've got an extra mystery spot.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to have to carry two traps on you, basically.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, you wouldn't be able to carry it back. So just grab it.
No, he can carry it back. Fire.
Okay,
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back. I'm going to check on Thomas them. I'm going to PKE everything around, make sure there's nothing.
Okay, well, let's just one step at a time. So if you want to, on your way in, are you going to check on them before you grab the trap?
Yeah, I want to check on them first.
All right, just give me standard PKE. The reading that you were getting outside on the track with the black slime, getting a very similar reading along the train, like inside the train through the compartments.
Alright, I grabbed the walkie-talkie.
Now, when you walk back, you know, there was safe. There was no slime on the track in front of the train. Doesn't seem to be under the train.
It's moved. That's this thing that scares me. Oh, okay. So I grabbed the walkie-talkie from Thomas, and I'm just like, hey guys, readings inside the train, same readings from the black slime. I'm going to go put this trap into the...
Containment unit, and then bring it back to spare.
I'm like, Thomas, come with me. You do not leave my sight.
Give me your cool roll if you want to convince him to go with you.
Ah, crap.
I don't...
a one.
Wow. Hey, guys.
It could have been worse.
I agree. It could have been worse. Yes.
Record for the lowest roll goes to Briska.
I would say the lowest roll is just Ghost Die with nothing.
But yeah, we haven't had that before.
We haven't had that before, no.
So that is the lowest roll so far.
So, I don't know. So I guess, does he not...
No. No way is he going with that roll.
You were like, hey, it's not dangerous.
you literally picked up the walkie-talkie from him and said, guys,
there's a problem.
The energy is all throughout this train. I'm gonna go empty a trap. Thomas, will you come with me?
I just say it like that. Like, I'm okay going on my own.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You didn't.
No.
You said it however horribly Doug Jesus.
it wasn't very good. So he was just like...
Whatever.
So he looks at you, and he looks at the conductor, and he's like,
I'm fine.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's gonna...
Let's just say you get to the Geist 1.
Put the ghost trap in there, clean it.
Yeah. So you got two clean traps ready to go.
Yeah, so I grab that.
You gonna run back with the traps?
Yeah, I'm gonna check on Thomas again real quick, bring him back the walkie-talkie so that they have it, and go, okay, well, we're going back out there. Let us know if anything else happens. Like, I mean...
The conductor, he's been like, you know, he watches you through, like, the front of the train, you know, so he's been watching on...
Yeah, it's just like, seriously, like, don't... Even if it's something small, let us know.
He already was telling you about the power fluctuations, and that's not normal, of course,
Well, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, did I notice... I obviously didn't notice anything on the way to the guys...
Nothing strange stuck out to you, other than, obviously, you're a Ghostbuster, you see this stuff all the time.
So, how about we concentrate on moving the train past this point, just so that if they need to, they can leave, and then we'll go back and deal with the issue.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We can see how far up this goes, then. All right.
Yeah. All right, so
I guess we'll head back.
So you left a cleared spot in the service tunnel, but there's still, like, slime on either side. You come back into the main tunnel. There is still slime, like, on the front. But when you go back, you notice that on the track, it's not as concentrated, and it really does seem sort of like spillover from the service tunnel. But by all means, you guys can go ahead and start clearing it out if you wanted to.
I just want to get this train past this part.
Mm-hmm. You guys, everyone's got a slime blower. Give me a neutral. Because it's successful, you start making tin. You see an end now. You see that there is an end in sight. But you guys are so close now, there's more and more of these things. I'm just going to do this because it's a fact now that more and more are going to come out. How many pop out? Six pop out. So, okay, six more pop out. I'll say these are solid class two. These aren't class ones anymore.
I turn around while they're going after the twos, and I just pull out my proton pistol, and I just zap the ones and get them off.
Okay. You're definitely blasting the hell out of these class ones or whatever. You're doing a good job, but that seems to have agitated the rest. So these class twos.
I'm just saying, guys, we're charging by the ghosts. We could.
We are.
Yeah,
we are.
No, I mean, we absolutely are.
Yeah. No, we can take our time. Do you want me to piss this slime off some more?
Fire into the black slime. Just like...
14. And a ghost.
I'll say that you clear up the rest.
both of you together, you guys clear up the rest. So that's a total of... 12. So 12. Let's just say there's 12 class 2s, at least 10 class 1s. Okay. While you guys are out there, you're like, you're getting these in, making some good progress. I'll say when that happens...
Crazy light show.
It is a crazy light show. I'll say that while that happens, the lights on the front of the train, they go out. They don't come back on. And the lights are, you know, the lights. I'm assuming you guys still had the lights on your vest, and you had the goggles on.
Yeah.
After a moment of the lights being out, conductor comes on. He's like, "The power's out. I can't get it to come back on, and I can't see anything." And he's very panicked.
Keep a stiff
go hook your proton pack to the train.
All right, I'm on it. Oh man, I'm satisfying everything. I'm rolling this many dice. All the ghost dice.
All of the ghosts. You rolled nothing but ghost dice.
It's like, how much of your art did I destroy?
So what's your? What do you?
I'm directed at Hitler.
I'm going to run back. Because that just doesn't seem right to me.
Okay, and you have your flashlight on, I'm guessing?
Flashlight, and I have my run.
You make it back, you got the flashlight on, you're climbing back up inside the train, all the lights are off and everything, of course. You hear people in the train kind of, not screaming, but they're definitely like, "What's going on?" You know, they're very, obviously, very confused. pretty panicked because...
My word.
Yeah, and you make it, you find the door to the front, to the front cabin door, you open it up, and you see the conductor's there, and he's just like, you know, like, happy to see you, I guess, but he's just... He's like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, but it's been out for several seconds now. I don't know. Is everything okay outside? What's the plan?"
Things are all right. What's going on? Like, where's Thomas? Is he here?"
He says, he's like, "I don't know." And he starts to look because it's pitch dark. The only light is your flashlight that's mounted on the front of your thing.
So I look around for Thomas and I.
You don't see Thomas in the front engine.
Oh crap!
Yeah, I'm gonna start looking for him inside the train.
All right, give me some brains. The conductor is a little freaked out by that because he's like, "He was right here. Like he was right here. I'm telling you."
13 and a ghost.
You're looking around with the flashlight and everything, and you see a trail of blood leading away from the cabin.
He got
nosebleed. And
he's really embarrassed.
He desperately needs his tissue. So
he ran to the laboratory.
I'm like, "Guys, I'm following a trail of blood. This isn't good.
We should maybe head back."
Yeah, let's go back.
Alright, so I'm gonna keep following it just because I think time is of the essence here.
Okay. I'll say you guys just meet up with him, basically, and you're gonna be following him. I guess if you guys have the night vision goggles on.
I will give you my best see.
Yeah. You definitely do see, like, the trail leading through the car, and it gets worse. Like, it's not looking... Like, it started off as, like, a sort of, you know, whatever. You know, like, "Oh, maybe nosebleed? I don't know." But it's like... So you got the goggles on. You could even just take the lead. You're just going. You're, you know, following the blood. You do see it lead up to, like, the... Through... It goes through a car, through, like, maybe two or three people who are just sort of there in the dark. Like, "Ghostbusters, don't worry." You know, like... But
stay in your seats.
Yeah, stay in your seats.
Stay in your seat, citizen.
You do see that the blood does seem to lead up to, like, one of the bathroom doors.
I grab a grenade.
Worst idea ever.
Just having a quick glance, is there any residual energy that I can see through the goggles?
Yeah, not that you're seeing.
PKE through the door.
Yeah, my PKE.
This is what the most ghost eyes I think we've ever had.
Still, it's not up to my worst, which was every roll that one night.
He's the most with the ghost.
12 and a ghost.
You're not picking up any energy readings.
All right.
Any life ratings either.
All right, so I'm going to be the doorman again, so I guess, Wall, do you get on the other side of the door?
Yeah.
I got on the other side about Radel.
I've blower ready, but ready to net.
I just open that door up quickly.
You open it quickly, and you got the goggles on.
We're ready to shoot an injured person.
Yeah, you got the lights on and everything, and you see Thomas is just sitting in there, and he is dead, like terribly dead. Like, his throat has been pulled open. It's a mess. It is bad. It's very bad.
I turn around and I say, "Everybody panic."
Hold on a second. I want to roll first aid.
Give me your roll for first aid. And ghost die again.
And now your DNA is all over the evidence.
Tell me what you want to do, though. Like, what is it you're trying to do? Are you just looking at it going, "Can I fix that?"
You
look at that and you just go, "That guy's king dead. He's dead."
He ran at full speed through, like, several cars with a hole in his throat just to get to the bathroom guy.
If you were to actually see how this is open, there's no question this guy is dead. It's a terrible mess all over the place. It's very bad.
And it made no noise whatsoever.
And it made no noise whatsoever.
It made no noise, and it passed through several cars full of people.
Yeah.
All right, at this point, we need to go to the source.
because we need to stop whatever this is before we lose people.
Yeah.
We've already lost the one person.
We lost probably the most important person.
So, with our goggles on, we're looking like back and forth. We don't see
okay,
anything.
Okay, give me a brand, give me a C for the goggles. You can see that passengers are kind of like looking up, like, what's going on? Like, they have no clue. But your, what was yours?
26.
You definitely spot, like, not at the end, but far, further away down the train, you're picking up some sort of hazy signal that is moving out of the train, and it is flying up past towards the front of the train. So it's like, it's going to pass you guys in a
it's
second.
It's like a murder typewriter.
Okay. It's moving fast.
Does he tell us that?
Are there windows on
oh yeah, there's windows on the train.
Okay.
Like,
I'm going to chase it.
Outside, in front of the train, now.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to chase it because I have run.
You don't see anything. He just says that there's something outside moving to the front of the
train. Yeah, there's
something
moving to the front of the train.
Okay.
You need to go
I'm going to your brother.
You're going
to
run?
I'm going to run, yes.
Run to the front of the train?
Yes, I'm going to run.
So you want to, like, front of the train, now! So you haul after, you get through, like, several cars, you finally get back down to the front, and you're seeing this thing, it disappears into the service tunnel before you even get there. But you can, like, because you're seeing through the train, you can see, like, this thing is moving, so whatever it was, it's into the service tunnel.
Let's go.
Alright. So, when you go in...
I start sliding on the green side,
you just hold your blower down in front of you, shoot it, and then skate on it like Iceman.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a blower, I mean, I think it just blast
like
my feet
off. Iceman.
You're just like...
Frozone! Yeah, Frozone. You definitely get there, but you don't have the goggles on, but when you get back inside the service tunnel, back to that clearing that's in the center, you see this haze, like this really, it's a very bright glowing, it's going like a bright blue, but you don't even get to see like a shape or form, it dives into the black slime and disappears.
Get that dude out, we got ourselves a murder.
Alright, I've got my goggles on, I'm waiting for it to pop back out with the proton stream.
Yep, same.
You guys are hitting it with the slime?
Yep.
Never taking public transportation again.
16 and it goes.
I'm just gonna swim across.
I'll say, yeah, you guys are hosing down the tunnel, the surface tunnel, pretty good, and it's actually eating away the slime, but nothing's coming back out. But again, it's not like it's waiting inside black slime. It's like, you know that this is like a door.
A conduit, yeah, it's a different dimension.
We gotta close this door.
Yeah. So I'll say that as far as the surface tunnels go, you've made some decent progress. You're seeing that there may be an end coming up.
Is there any, like, junction boxes around where the power may be?
I'll say yes. I'll say that there is a junction box that's inside the service tunnel. You guys make a clear path right up to the slime, a clear path through the slime to the junction box. It's in the off position.
Okay, I'm going to flip it on.
I'll say you flip it, and also the conductor comes on. He's just like, we got power back, and there's blood in here.
He's like, yeah.
So, hey, tell everybody to just stay in their seats.
Yeah.
Okay. So he'll go on the speaker.
And people next to the bathroom are just like, do we have to?
It's true. There's a mess.
We closed the door.
Yeah. You've gotten through all the slime that's in the service tunnel. If you have the goggles on, you're picking up, there was still like residual, as if like there was slime all the way down, but it's not there anymore. Like the slime is gone.
Want to head back to the train just in case, because
let's head back.
Like, we have a client that was murdered under our protection. That's not good.
On that, the slime, it seems to be clear. Your PKE readings, everything else, as far as the goggles are concerned.
I said we gotta neutralize the rest of the slime. We can't just leave it here.
Yeah.
But you're not seeing any others. When you got to the end, like where like the junction box was, there was a crack in the service tunnel. Not like big enough to even put a finger in, but there's like a noticeable crack that's in the bottom that seems to where it seeped out from.
Why don't you guys just maybe...
Just fill it with slime.
Fill it with slime. See if it does the boiling crack, you know, the... You know,
so he destroys us all.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be grateful for that, but I'll just say that if you're like, okay, that's weird. You all agree that that's very strange. So you just, you know, just fill up that crack with as much slime as you can. And a little bit of sizzling, a little bit of smoke come out, but otherwise it's the rest of the green slime just sort of sits caked on top. So you seem to have plugged it up for whatever it was, but you very much believe that this was the entry port for the slime. So it definitely came in through this is what you're
but
thinking.
But then where did it manifest before then?
That's where you got to find out.
Limestone.
Fucking limestone.
It is only one letter away from slimestone.
All of us are like, oh.
Alright, guys. Let's get some drilling going down here.
Briggs just hands while his brain dies. Yeah. I'm the smart one from now on.
So I guess we head back to
So we head back to the train.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You want to sort of secure the body and everything, figure out what the hell's going on. By the time you get back to the train, like, all the power's on, but people are freaking out by the blood, and someone has already opened the door to the bathroom, and they're just like, oh, my goodness, there's a dead person in here. And
so, who's going to tell the conductor about
that? It was highly irregular.
By the time you guys make it back, I'd assume that he is already aware that there's a dead person in the
one thing I'm curious about, just because I want to do this, I want to go to see the conductor. I want to PK the conductor because he was the only person that was
okay. Yeah,
was
just give me.
Solid killed him.
But brains.
Hey, look, ghost. I don't know, sleight of hand nonsense, mumbo jumbo. Just let me.
Because a ghost needs to use sleight of hand in order to make something appear different.
I don't know. Maybe
just give me brains. Give me standard brains.
Completely normal human being.
Okay.
In fact,
as
now
concerned.
He's freaked out because you're just like, yeah. So there's a dead guy in the back.
It's like, so dead guy in the back. Do you know anything about that? Sure.
No, I'm not.
I know. They just make beeping and making weird noises, and it's like beep 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 beep. He's like, what's that? No, that's normal. That's normal.
Interesting though.
It's like, oh, LaForge, I need your help up here.
Well, yes. Start the train up. And
yeah. I mean, this point, he'll tell all the passengers that there's an emergency situation. They got to move out of that car and everything. So everyone, wherever the blood is, everyone's gonna be moving out back past or whatever. He radios ahead that there's been an incident on the train. They're gonna be delayed, obviously. The train continues on, makes it to the next stopping point. Once it reaches inside France, it stops. The police come in. There's a big investigation. You know,
we're detained.
No, you're not detained, but they definitely are asking questions. The conductor does vouch for you. He says that you were definitely not on the train when he disappeared, and that you guys came in looking for him. That you were concerned for him. So there's no real suspicion placed on you guys in those terms, but the cops, the French
European cops seem way easier to work with.
Yeah, I know. Well, the French police, they're just sort of like, it's a dead man. Why would you bring a dead man into our country? They're just as puzzled as you guys are. I mean, you told them everything that happened. There's not much else that they can do. They say they'll take care of the body, they'll take care of the cleanup. Wow, that's so funny.
Oh, just the idea of a police officer like, so can you tell me what happened to the man who is missing his throat? Like, it was a ghost. And they're like, oh, okay, very well. Nothing you could do about that, right? Ghosts. It's last week, the man who was fucking my wife, also killed by a ghost. very strange. I mean, I obviously cannot argue with you because I've seen that happen myself.
What just happened?
Guys, I told you.
So anyway, when they stopped you there. It's like, oh, that is well. Welcome to France. They stop your passport.
Bonjour.
They give you his belongings after they cleared, make sure there's no evidence. I mean, they believe you guys when they say that there's some supernatural element to it. They were aware of the Ghostbusters International, so they do believe, sort of, you know.
Our best point of reference and lead is now gone. That's not
good.
Do
we have the hotel room or just the hotel?
You just know the name of the hotel.
So we call Nina. How's everything on the ferry?
She's like, oh, it's fine. It was a kind of a pleasant trip. Tobin was very, very well behaved.
Oh, good.
Oh,
ours was right. Eventful. It was eventful.
You wouldn't believe how loud these trains get.
We're up to our shins and corpses, but that's okay.
She's like, okay.
Quit standing in the corpse.
So she'll meet up with you guys. So you guys take the train. So you meet up with Nina and Tobin. You get on the train. They make an exception for the dog because of all this terrible stuff that's happened. I'm assuming you update Nina on everything that happened, because clearly Thomas isn't with you anymore.
Thomas is dead.
Maybe we'll get to bust you one day, Thomas.
We'll do it with the utmost care.
He'll haunt the channel. He'll be the channel phantom.
Excuse me.
I'm late. Could you please? I'm sorry.
It's like, oh, the train. Oh.
No one knows that he's haunting it, because the train just goes by so fast.
Please. Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take the next one. So you guys make it. You guys make it to Paris. Unload the Geist One. Are you gonna? I'm guessing you lose head of the hotel. Le Prestige, as the name of the hotel was. You guys pull up to the hotel in the Geist One. You know, of all things. So anyway, if you get in, this is like a 5-star hotel. It's like a big deal. It's really nice.
All the beautiful
in.
People.
Mm-hmm. So what would you like to do when you go in?
I guess the other thing is like, hi, we're the Ghostbusters from America.
Evacuate Sinus. Everybody.
It's like,
evacuate the country, please.
It's like, we need everyone gone. Are we staying at this hotel, actually?
Not yet.
We're currently at the counter.
Yeah, you're currently at the counter.
Well, we
haven't collected our bill yet. I'm not paying for a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we need to get to Charlie Walker's room. We're guests and friends of his, and we just need to...
And I'll see the girl at the counter just like, oui, monsieur, one moment. And she's like looking up in the, you know, on the computer. And she says, hey, Miss Monsieur Walker is not staying here. You may be mistaken.
Did you have any listing for Thomas Brown?
She looks up and she says no. She says that she's surprised to see the American Ghostbusters because the International Ghostbusters room was recently staying here.
Oh,
how long ago?
Yeah, what room were they in?
Oh, she says they haven't checked out yet, but she tells you what room they're staying in and that she hasn't seen them for a few days.
We have to have that key card. The thing is, I was like, look, we know we have
just
to.
Just tell us what room it is. We'll just knock on the door.
Well,
I'll say it's on the 8th floor. It's on the 8th floor.
8th floor.
Okay, so we go up and knock on the door.
Nothing.
Josh, kick it down.
I think I'm just going to call and ask for the key card, let them know they're not here, and they've been missing for a few days.
Okay.
So we get custodians to check on the on the room.
In that case, I'll say that the manager of the hotel, one of the managers, comes up. And you know they're aware of the Ghostbusters or whatever, and you're saying that the international Ghostbusters are missing. He'll come up, he'll open the door for you, and he'll go inside with you.
Okay.
You go inside. The room looks like it hasn't been touched in a while. There's like a couple suitcases left, some clothes, but there's no equipment and there's not much else.
How many beds were there?
I'll say that there's like I'll just say that there's like a linking room. So I'll say that there were two rooms that were rented out with that linked together.
Okay. So enough for the...
for them, yes.
Hmm. So,
And the
suitcases... Well, technically, we have our room. I mean, they're paying for it, and we are still Ghostbusters, so...
Yeah.
All right, so I go to the briefcases, and I enter 0000 in the briefcase lock for ooh, which is the Ghostbuster code.
You're gonna kill Pool.
It opens.
All right! All right, what do I find?
You find some paperwork, receipts, that sort of thing. Some of it may be in other languages, you're not really sure. Nina's there, she'll be able to help.
There's no corpses in the bathroom.
No. Everything looks pretty normal. But like I said, it seems like it hasn't really been touched. Like, the beds are made and everything, because the, you know, maids came in, cleaned up and everything like that. But as far as, like, their personal items go, there's not a lot of it left. There's just a couple suitcases, briefcase with some paperwork in it, but it's... Seems pretty dry, cut and dry. You're not immediately noticing anything sticking out just yet.
Can we, like, is there...
I'm gonna have a look around.
Maybe a table was cleared off to use as a makeshift workbench, but, you know.
I want to ask the manager to contact the maids responsible for this room and find out how long it's been since the beds were unmade.
What do you mean? How long has it been?
They've been coming in every day.
Since they've had to make the bed.
Well, I got you. Okay, he'll go find that out, and he'll be back with you guys.
In the meantime, I'm going to check my phone to research anything to do with ghosts coming out of the ground.
Okay.
In the occult.
Okay, and what, Mike, what were you doing?
I've got a 13 to have a look around the room, see if I see anything that looks, you know, rather out of the ordinary.
Well, the thing that seems weird to you is, like, if they're not here, why were there some clothes? Not, like, a whole bunch, but just, like, that to you would suggest maybe they left in a hurry. But so much so that they didn't even, you know that they didn't even check out. You're aware that there are ghosts that come out of the ground. As far as it being tied with black slime, you know very much, I mean, obviously from history, that, like, the pink moot slime, as long as it had a direction to go or a purpose, it would make its way. This would lead you to think that maybe the black slime, whether or not someone's controlling it, or if it's just acting naturally on its own, you're not sure, but it seems to have come from France through the system there, come up into different areas, and continued all the way up into England, and come up through England, and thus all the problems were starting there as well.
So France is way worse than England is, right?
You would guess that. I mean, if you wanted to, for further questions and stuff, if you want to talk to any of the hotel staff, anything downstairs.
Yeah, well, we need to find out when the last time that they literally saw them.
Okay, well, I'll say that the hotel manager comes back and he's like, he's called for the maid and like the wait staff to meet downstairs in the lobby, because obviously if you were saying that they've been missing for days and there was a murder involved, so this is very serious. So he's called anyone who's free to come down to the main lobby and they will speak with all of you, and he'll be there. He'll be present, of course, as well.
Well, first question is, when was the last time anyone here saw them?
Well, that's the lobby. So you're going to go down to the lobby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I figured...
I take the briefcases with us.
Okay. I just picture Briggs just sitting there and, like, talking in the corner. I'm like, well, come on, buddy. We can go ask them that.
I figured it was just true that we had just gone down.
Yeah. But I just want to be safe. I just want to be clear. Yeah. So if you guys go back down to the lobby, there's, like, several maids that are there, a few members of the wait staff who, like, do, like, room service and whatnot.
Who saw them last? Was it, like, did they leave?
When were they last here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Nina translates a little bit for some of them, just in case any don't understand. You get a couple responses back. A couple of the maids say, oh, I remember seeing them, like, maybe 3-4 days ago. Then you have another one saying it was, like, she thinks it was, like, 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago was the last time she even saw them in the hotel.
What time of the day?
If pressed for an answer, she's going to guess maybe, like, midday-ish. They were moving in and out of the hotel.
Carrying anything?
Not that she remembers, but that's she really doesn't know because it's
The 5-star hotels have valets, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to go question the valet.
Okay. He says, they came to me and I gave them the key and they drove off and I haven't seen them since.
So they took the vehicle.
Yeah.
We'll contact French police and ask if they've seen the vehicle.
Okay. They say that no reports have come in of any abandoned vehicles, but they will take down the license. You can figure out what the license was based on the records and everything. They will put out like an APB just to find out if anybody sees it, they will notify you. Mm-hmm.
Was there anyone with them that was not a Ghostbuster that you guys were already familiar with them?
The manager says that when he was speaking with them, they were in town on business and that they were conducting business nearby.
Do you know with who?
He says, I think one of them was with the restaurant. There's a restaurant nearby. It's like another 5-star restaurant, but he's not entirely sure. He says that he did want to ask for their help on a problem that was in the hotel that has started up, but they hadn't been around for several days, but you guys have shown up, so there is a problem that he'd like Ghostbusters to help with, but it's not like inherently dangerous or really bad. But he hasn't been seeing them in 3 or 4 days. Didn't know they were missing, just assumed that they were busy. And he was hoping that when they were done, he could speak to them about doing a job here. But now that they're missing, he says, like, my problem can wait. But, you know, if we do find them or if you had the time, I'd like for you to help out with something at the hotel that I can speak to you guys about privately. But
sure.
You're like, well, so it's not dangerous, is his problem?
Not yet. I don't believe it's dangerous. It's more of an inconvenience.
Okay, like, not as big of an inconvenience as missing the
Ghostbusters. I mean, he will concede that the missing people are more important, but he is worried about this other thing. But he'll address that. Well, we can save that for the next time.
That's, we'll keep that in mind. We'll come back to that.
okay, cool. So I guess we just gotta wait, and I think the first thing we should do is definitely head to the restaurant.
Yeah.
That's a good starting point.
So he'll dismiss the waitstaff and the maids, and he says he'll find the address of the restaurant. So if you guys just wait here in the lobby, I'll be right back. So he leaves.
Okay.
Once he's gone, once he's stepped out of sight, you're just sort of standing in the lobby.
Yeah.
You hear a woman's voice from like behind, sitting in the lobby, like reading a paper, and she says, "Oh, it's a shame about Mr. Brown, about Thomas." And she folds the paper down, and it's Felicia Silver from Occulto Veritas.
Why did I know that was going to be
I had
there?
A feeling that was coming back.
Yeah. Wait, was he in Occulto Veritas? I ask her.
You ask her?
Yes.
She says no. No, we wanted to approach him, but we didn't have the chance.
What do you know about him?
About Thomas?
Yes.
Worked at the British Museum along with Charles Walker, and he was being pursued by somebody. And we were interested in talking to Mr. Walker, but he has gone off the radar.
We're looking for the International Ghostbusters. Do you know anything about what's going on?
She goes, we know that they're missing. We don't know where they are. Clearly, she's here, so she's on the same level, basically, as where you guys are.
Are you here to speak to Walker or Thomas? What brings you here?
Well, I was here to talk to Mr. Walker. It just so happened that the International Ghostbusters were after him, too. He was staying here, but he's not here anymore.
Right. Now, when you say not here anymore, you don't mean that metaphorically, right? Like, he's dead.
No, I hope that he's not dead. But
like he's been taken
physically.
Out of the picture.
Physically, he is not at the hotel, and I don't believe that he's in France anymore.
So you don't know anything else about this situation that you could maybe shed some light on?
She says, I do believe it has something to do with the ring that you have.
Oh, good. Do you guys have any information on this ring?
Not yet.
Not even Mr. Book?
If you would like to call him, he's your friend.
He's just another member.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about the ring.
I'm not the one wearing it.
She has our number, right?
Yeah. She doesn't assume that she's going to need you for information. She says, if you want to talk to me, you have my number, mm-hmm. is how it is.
Hey, Briggs, give her a call. Ask for it.
Miss Silver says that she'll be staying in Paris for a little while, trying to look into things. But if you want to contact her, you know how to call her. You can get her number.
Are you at this hotel?
No.
Okay.
She's just hanging out in the lobby, not being creepy or anything.
Alright, that's just weird.
Yeah, what's the idea? So, she gets up and she leaves. The manager comes back, and he's like, I was able to find the address, and the name that the Ghostbusters were looking for was a Mr. Charles Walker from England.
Okay, well, alright, that's nothing terrible.
I think we know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Walker was he wasn't here for several days, and he said that he only wanted to rent the room for X amount of days. At the end of those days, he hadn't checked out, so they put it on his bill, they cleaned out the room, and now it's, rented to someone else. They still have some belongings, but not all of them.
Where are his personal belongings?
They have them, like, in a lost and found area if you want to check it out.
Yeah, I'd like to go look at that.
Okay. Do you want to deal with that now?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I guess, well, then like a couple of us can go check out the restaurant at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm. If you want to split up, yeah.
Yeah. We can do more names that way.
So who's going doing what?
The restaurant.
I'll go look at his personal stuff.
I'll go to the restaurant.
I guess I'm with Wall.
Okay. Let me deal with you guys. Look at the personal stuff first.
Okay.
So I manager lead you back into the room. There's like a, you know, Tupperware, like these big cubbies or whatever, full of some things. You opened up. It's some clothes, some papers. There's some like books, like textbooks about the Renaissance, especially in France and in throughout the rest of Europe. There's a lot of stuff that if you flip through, there's a lot of personal notes, a lot of chicken scratch, you know, just everything else. Seems like typical stuff for a guy who works at a museum. Nothing really seemed out of the ordinary, but I'll have to get to the super specifics later, because I've, you know, about to have to prepare or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll deal with you guys if you guys want to just get in the Geist one.
Yeah,
sure.
And you go off to the restaurant. Do you want to take Nina and Tobin, or either or?
Sure.
Okay. So Nina and Tobin and you two go off to the restaurant. You take the Geist one to La Boutique Fromage. When you get there, it's under construction. It's, you know, being like rebuilt and everything. And there's like someone out front. Like there's a few people out front wearing like suits that seem to be in charge.
I'm hungry. I want to go somewhere else.
You really just wanted food.
All right. So let's talk to the suited people at the Boutique Fromage.
Okay. So anyway, okay. So you go up. Nina will start translating, start the conversation, and translate for you guys, asking questions. What would you like to know? What would you like to ask?
You say, hey, do you remember the European Ghostbusters or the Ghostbusters International?
And he's irritated, very French. He's just like, we must. And he just gets angry and he starts explaining. And Nina says, yeah. He says that they're responsible for a lot of the damage here, and the place was set to reopen. They had closed the restaurant before. For refurbishment, and before the restaurant opened, he hired them because they were having a ghost problem. They came in, destroyed the place, and now they had to rebuild the entire thing. And the problem still has not been fixed, even though they said it was fixed.
What problem?
The Ghostbusters said it was fixed and it wasn't?
That's what he says they're saying.
Okay, what's your problem? I mean, I know you're French.
But... Yeah,
yeah. Besides the obvious.
Nina just kind of just goes, ugh. continues explaining.
She omits that part.
Yeah, she omits that part of the translation. So this guy explains that they had closed it down for the refurbishment. During the refurbishment, they figured out that it was haunted. There was like a ghost was coming in and just tearing up the place and just attacking anyone who came in. The Ghostbusters came in. The International Busters, who were hired, they were here in town for... He found out that they were here in town. It was like a happy coincidence. So he found out where they were staying, contacted them. They came out, took care of this problem, and things seemed fine for several days, but he has since yet been able to contact them. They seem to have disappeared on him, and he can't complain to them about how this problem has repeated itself. It started up again.
Can you describe the problem to us?
Yeah, it's a man who... appears to be an angry chef who used to work at the restaurant is coming in and he's tearing up the place.
Okay, why was he angry when he worked here?
He was terrible and I fired him. And later, this is going back several years. The restaurant was terrible. I came in. I was trying to make it better, turn it from a 4-star into a 5-star. I didn't.
It was
like
previously
it.
Terrible.
clearly. I mean, it's from the way the passion that this man is speaking with, you're led to believe that he thinks the 4-star was terrible, and he wanted to bring it up to 5-star. This guy wasn't cutting the mustard, really, you know. And
that's the difference, really.
Yeah,
is that you need mustard blocks and you need to cut them. Yeah. And he was vehemently opposed to that.
Either way, yeah, they had just a difference of opinion. He ended up firing him, and he subsequently died sometime after that.
Okay, well then, let's go bust him and see if it tells us anything about the International Ghostbusters.
Do you guys want to do that?
Yeah, let's go there. Yeah. Let's get there now.
All right, so you're gonna take a taxi to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you guys hail a cab, all the equipment was in the back of the Geist one anyway, and you're gonna meet them there, and you arrive at the restaurant, and I'll end it there for tonight.
I've got a running total based on how bad this goes, and I might knock off a couple ghosts depending on what happens.
Okay. Well, you're billing Eurostar first.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to build the train, yeah.
Where's the list?
I think Adam has it for some crazy reason. Why is it crazy that I have it?
Because you don't care about money.
You know, it's funny. He has a crazy reason for the train, or some would call it a locomotive.
We're gonna die.
You're welcome.
One of these days, our hearts are just not gonna be able to take it anymore. We're just gonna die.
Locomotive.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you.
That means we rely on you to keep us in business by telling a friend, reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution to our monthly support drive.
And if you act now, you can take advantage of our special half-price service plan.
Whoa, hold on. Half-price? Have we all gone mad?
I guess so, Briggs, because that's not all. Tell them, Poole.
Oh, you mean if you donate even $1, you get access to exclusive Nerdy Show content and cool perks?
That's right, and you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store.
So don't wait another minute. Make your supernatural problem our supernatural problem.
If you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, call us at 321-209-2020.
You can follow us, or The Nerdy Show, on all your favorite social networks.
We're ready to believe you!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello?
Is the Ghostbusters there?
Hello, Ghostbusters there?
Where's Ray?
Ray!
Egon.
Egon!
Bankman.
Bankman!
Hi, Ghostbusters. My name's Philip, and I have no idea. Hey, get out of there! There's like this weird thing, like, I don't know what it's doing, but it's dancing in my living room and...
No! Don't play that song!
It just... It keeps playing Rebecca's Black Friday and dancing to it. God. Please help me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.